Okay, so what I want to finish tonight is I want to finish up our conversation about basically cough medication or over-the-counter medication that is liquid flavored. We discussed at length already. We discussed the status of gel caps and things like that. I want to finish up that, and depends. If there's enough time, I want to try to sneak in one more sugya. It's a one-page sugya. That doesn't mean it's going to go fast. And my ultimate plan long-term going forward between now and Pesach and after Pesach, I want to start a new series discussing lowering the gas on Yom Tov. Or for that matter, turning off the gas on Yom Tov and turning off barbecue grills on Yom Tov. So I want to get into that a little bit more over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, with Pesach coming up, it's very relevant. If you want to lower the gas on your gas burner on Yom Tov, what's that about, what you need to know? So hopefully we'll get to that if Mr. Shem, we'll get to that. Okay, so we left off last time. We were discussing the shailas about medication. So again, the truth is, to be fair and honest, when we're discussing, cough medicine, right, we're going to be discussing now cough and cold medication. We're talking about basically over-the-counter medication. Again, I can't reiterate this enough. I guess, you can never say this enough, but if anyone is dealing with a chole sheyesh basakana, any medication that needs to be taken, because if not, it can lead. Again, I'm talking about even things like amoxicillin for children that have strep. Strep can be deadly. It was deadly for a time in history. So if a child is older and they don't like take pills and they need to take amoxicillin, they have to take amoxicillin, because if not, they will not get better from the strep. And chas v'shalom, that could be deadly. We're predominantly talking about over here the common cold and cough where it shouldn't kill anyone, hopefully. And it's just a question of what we call a mechush. You're uncomfortable. You want to take something for the cough, and you look at your cough medicine and you want to know, what am I looking at over here? Now, to be fair and honest, and I guess this is a worthwhile discussion, is it so possible that your cough medicine is even food in the beginning? Just like we saw from Moshe and Ibiakiv and quite a few Gedolim, they looked at a gel capsule and they said, this is not food. There's no achshavei on this. So would you say the same thing is true for your liquid medication? So many achrayim, including the OU, the Star K, and all the major kashrut organizations, don't think that way. They do not think that cough medicine is not food. They look at cough medicine, especially if it has a good taste, as food. Even though, again, no one just drinks Dimetap for the sake of it, because, we're out of coffee, so let's drink Dimetap. No one does that. Now, I can't say 100%, so I'll put that disclaimer on. I do believe seeing years ago that Rabbi Asher Weiss was of the camp, I think so, that he really doesn't look at medication b'chlal as food. And his argument is, what shelf, which aisle in the store is medication? The answer is, it's in the pharmacy. It's not in the, drinks. It's not like there's soda, tea, and, Dimetap. It's in the pharmacy section for a reason. I think, if I remember correctly, there he was discussing more the issue of brachas. Would you have to make a bracha? Which, again, is a much bigger discussion. If a person wants to take a liquid medication that does have a fruity flavor, putting aside the hashkacha issue, would you have to make a bracha? You're ingesting food that is considered a food. Now, obviously, if you don't consider it food, then it doesn't need to be kosher, and it doesn't have to have, and you wouldn't have to make a bracha. But the assumption of the major kashrus organizations is that they don't go that route. They say, no, let's be honest, it tastes good, it's flavored, it's got a berry, cherry, all this good stuff, it's considered food, and now we have to figure out, is the content of the food a halachic concern? I don't know if it is or not. I partially don't know. I'm just saying, but it's not part. Children, no, it's not our conversation. It's not our conversation, because that's something you need to take. Anything you need to take.
Dental work and stuff like
that.
People take,
right, I'm saying, I have no idea if it's kosher, but if you're taking it because you have a mech, that might be different, Taka. There you're taking it just because of a mechush. I'm talking about someone who has an infection,
right,
and the doctor says you got to get rid of this infection, and the only way to get rid of it is with amoxicillin, then you take the amoxicillin.
That's right.
But I'm talking about, the common cold where it's not really going to do anyone in. It's like that Dimetap, or again, the Tylenol is also tricky, because Tylenol with kids can sometimes be serious. If a kid's, my kids, I'm sure everyone's kids here, can in a hurry get themselves a Gesunta fever going, that's not safe. Kids can't be running fevers of 100, 300, and whatever without something, without Tylenol, Motrin bringing it down. So it could be, that's also mutter. We're talking about the case where it's just, a mechush, you're uncomfortable, and you want to take something to relieve mainly pain, not really treating anything, and you look at the bottle, and there's no OU on the bottle, you don't know if the bottle is kosher. Now,
is the ingredient we're talking about a thickening agent?
So that's what I want to get to. Right, very good. So the major not kosher ingredient in cough medicine or Tylenol, liquid Tylenol, is what we call glycerin. Glycerin is tricky, because glycerin could come from treif. It comes from animal fats, which is tarfus, no question. Now, there is a tzad that people talk about, maybe glycerin is much like we saw by gelatin, but it's not changed nearly as much as gelatin is. So we'll put that aside. That's not going to be much of an argument. The argument is, when you buy gelatin, do you know what type of gelatin you're getting? It could be animal gelatin. It could be what they call oil gelatin. It could be that comes from vegetables. Also gelatin comes from vegetables. You don't know what you're getting. And being that you don't know what you're getting, we are kind of playing the Suffolk card. Now, many people think that today you're probably not getting animal gelatin because animal gelatin is much cheaper. And the reason why it's much more cheap, it's cheaper, is because there's much less of a demand. A lot of people don't want animal gelatin. Now, why would you not want animal gelatin? First of all, if you don't eat meat, you don't want animals. If you're vegetarian or perhaps Muslim and other religions, they don't want it. Also, after mouth, hoof disease, a lot of people want to just stay clear of anything with animals because animals are infected. And if you take the glycerin from them, you're getting their infection. So there are those who make the argument that today it's at least a suffix. It's at least a suffix what your glycerin is. So it's a suffix, okay. So a suffix was still machmir, but we'll see it's going to be built in with some coolers. Now again, if you call up the company and you ask them, most kashrus organizations feel that that's enough of a raya. So if you call them up and they write it in writing, they say to you, yes, we use non-animal glycerin, you're 100% good to go. I told you that Tylenol and Motrin, they do not use animal glycerin. And that's why it can be used for adults and children. Even though there's no OU on it, because the OU just means that they were actually watching and they could say firsthand. This is just testimonial from one of the people who worked there. There is, I think I mentioned this a while back, there is a line of kosher medicine called Kosher Med. That is under real hashgacha. That means there's a mashgiach in the plant watching everything that goes and comes. Interestingly enough, just for ironic, I was listening to a podcast from the CRC from Chicago. They said that there's a cough medicine for adults that does not carry glycerin, and for children that does carry glycerin. So there's not even a way of like knowing why they put what in it.
Now, the same brand.
It's the same brand, but one's adult and one's children, and one has, one doesn't. So like, why do they put glycerin in? Obviously, glycerin is a good taste. It's also a binder. It's also used to hold things together. So it has multi-purposes, glycerin. The difference between glycerin and gelatin is that glycerin has a good taste, as opposed to gelatin, which is a bland or no taste.
And there's no issue with batul b'shishim?
That's what we're going to get to right now. So let's see, what do we do? So let's see, we left off over here in source number 20. So we're using over here the article from Rabbi David Heber, noted Rav in Baltimore. He used to work for the OU, I didn't know that. He used to work for the OU many years ago. I think now either he works for the, I think now he works for the Star K. So he writes like this. He wrote an article, number 20, like this. Syrup uberefuah shoshoysin ubefrat cough medication shchiach glycerin. The most common kashrus problem in cough medicine is going to be the glycerin. No, source number 20, page 2. It can come from vegetable. It can come from a dead animal. You don't know. It's more than 60 times. That's the other type of... There's apparently three ways to get glycerin. Only one out of three is really a problem. But you don't know what you're getting. So one is vegetable and one is called petroleum. Again, I was listening to a little bit of the Matzias, that's with fatty acids, and they break it down, and that's how they get what they get. So he said like this. The problem is there's more than 60... In the actual concoction that you have. So what? The gam have motuk. It's also sweet. So if it's sweet, it's hard to justify necessarily with bittul. So he writes, v'shamati me'agoyim Reb Moshe Heinemann Shlita. So he points out from Reb Moshe Heinemann, the head of the Star K in Baltimore, Rav in the Aguda of Baltimore, kivin shirak have a suffik iser. So he points out, l'mais is only a suffik iser. And it's even hard to be mavarit. It's almost a suffix which is difficult to be mavarit because they don't always know and they won't always tell you. But again, it's a suffix because you don't know where the glycerin came from, right? It could be glycerin from a kosher, not kosher. It could be glycerin from an animal. And if it's from an animal, it's treif. It's hard to imagine they took glycerin from a cow that was shechted al pi dasa kedin. That's not likely. Or the glycerin came either from vegetable or the other option, and then it's not a problem.
If it's from an animal,
it's treif.
Make it a suffix.
I don't know if I'd make... It's most likely being this is the rice at that point if you're going to eat it that way. So yeah, so on the side that it came from an animal, you got yourself a big problem. Is it for sure this is the rice? We can kvetch a little bit about it. But on that side, it's for sure also. But we don't know where it came from.
So it remains a suffix.
So Rabbi Heinemann suggested... So therefore Rabbi Heinemann suggested what you can do is the following. If you come across cough medicine or cold medication without hashkacha, and you see this glycerin in, and you call up the company, and the company says, we don't know where the glycerin comes from. So he says you can be mevatel the iser. Meaning you can make your own, meaning the concoction itself is not nisbatel, but if you add some liquid to it, you will make it bittel. And this way you can take your Dimetap, you can take your whatever other companies they have, and you don't have to sweat it. Now how does that work? So he explains. Now everyone's asking, I'm sure everyone's thinking in their mind, we have a rule, we don't go around doing that. We don't go around taking a tray for concoction, making more, and then say, oh, it's bittel. We don't do that. So why would I be allowed to do that over here? So the answer is, he writes, so he says, v'tzorichi in parentheses, I'm sorry, I skipped a line, he says over here, he says, why? So Rabbi Heinemann feels that since it's only suffik yisr, it's not vada yisr, because you don't know where the glycerin comes from. So then, since it's only suffik yisr, on a suffik yisr, you're allowed to be mavatal that lechatchila. So I could, again, I can't take vada yisr, meaning if someone were to give me a piece of pork and say, listen, throw it into your chum, but don't worry, you'll have shishim connected a little piece of pork. We can't do that. But over here, since it's only suffik yisr, because I don't know where the glycerin came from, again, if I call them up and they tell me for sure it's animal glycerin, then the chayr, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, if they tell me for sure, it's no longer a suffix. They told me straight, it's animal glycerin. Once it's animal glycerin, again, there are other studies maybe to justify mevatel lechatchila. Maybe you can argue that tzarech chayla we do it, but the heter is based on the premise that you don't know that you're getting isr. So now, so he writes over here, v'tzarech iyan hadkasav egris Moshe, quotes the truth from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe says, the osel levatel suffix isr. Rav Moshe says he still can't do bittel on suffix isr. So how's that going to work? So omdam efshad minid didan afilu ha'igros moishe moidish muta ayin shams v'rosoi the suffix yisad derais havi vada yisad derabon of ozal vatlas derabon omdam kan havi suffix yisad derabon. He says over there, the case over there was talking about that the suffix yisad was a suffix yisad derais. So suffix yisad derais is v'shoin yisad derabon. Here we have a suffix derabon. He calls it a derabon. He says v'suffix yisad derabon and havi chatzi shibet haruvis. Right, back to really Ronnie's point. Even if I were to know that there's glycerin in the drink, but I'm never drinking enough glycerin in one shot. Because again, how much glycerin are you possibly drinking? In the whole drink, there's more than shishim. But I'm not consuming shishim. I'm not consuming enough glycerin in my 5 ml of Dharmitap. So therefore, many Achronim argue that even if you're going to drink it with vade glycerin in it, you're still only over in a Sidrabbana, because it's what we call chatzishir. You'll never get enough to be the actual shear of glycerin that you need to consume to be us. And therefore, it's only... I have in the back of my head Rabbi Moshe Weiss, but I can't say with certainty.
It's not like a Rabbi Moshe or
Rabbi Yosef. No, all the major kashrus organizations do not seem to go in that direction.
I was actually going online to start K to see some of the medications, but they don't have, like, the amoxicillin is something that...
Usually amoxicillin... Yeah. First of all, you could find out maybe what amoxicillin has in it, but sometimes you might need it, again, depending on the situation. Now, again, you can also do bittel to it if you want. If you want to be extra careful.
But to be mevatel, how? By drinking a lot of water.
By mixing it with water. Yeah, by mixing it with water or soda.
But it's a tablet. You just swallow it.
No, a tablet's less. Does it have any taste to it?
Nothing.
So that's fine. That's the last week's share. Okay. Then you're okay. So then you're okay from last week. This week we're talking about things that actually have a good taste. Uh-huh. So then you're fine.
Do we have a bigger problem here between us and Brooklyn or wherever, as opposed to being in Iowa, because we have so many potential kosher ones?
Yeah, definitely. Like we learned already last week.
CVS doesn't have, but if you go to the local...
Exactly, that's right. That's right. Right. Today we have more Baruch Hashem. It's good and bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we have more options, we're somewhat like, you know, why, you know, shortchange yourself if you can go two more blocks and get the kosher one. Yeah. Also, today we're living in a world where we have kosher pharmacies, you know, ran by some people who take care of these things for us. So, yeah, it makes it easier and harder in the same way. So now, how would this work? I'm sorry, yeah. The assumption is certain things are good tasting. They're flavored. Flavored now. You might not like cherry, but at the end of the day, it's already considered more in the food family. Even though, you know, I'm not a cherry guy. I'm a raspberry guy. But if it's flavored, it's going to be more of a problem, even though it's not your specific taste. So let's see. So how would this work? So I go home. A guy has to take a bunch of cough medicine. How would he do this? So he gives you a beautiful system over here. He writes like this. So Rabbi Heber, who did a lot of the legwork over here, he said he did not find that there's more than 20% glycerin in the entire concoction. Now, what's that in numbers? That's what we call 1/5. Mm-hmm. Now, he said, I heard this from Rabbi Heber on a podcast, he said he thinks the numbers might even be lower than that. But he just ruled l'chumra 20%. Okay. So if you're going to do bittel at 12 parts, meaning you have 1 teaspoon shel refuah, so he says, if you can have 1 teaspoon of medication, tzarech lotoich 2 fluid ounces shamayim omitz. He says, if you take 1 teaspoon of medicine and you combine it with 2 ounces of water, Vada hasavik yisa yibata b'samach. You'll then just get bata b'shishim.
So not washing it down with water.
No, it means you mix it into the concoction. Yeah, you got to mix it into the concoction. Now, the math over here, you just have to apply it to depending on how many teaspoons you're having. You're going to just keep on upping the water intake. Now, the problem with this etza is it's not practical for kids, which is a large group of who we're talking about are kids. Kids don't like taking medication in the first place. Making them take more ounces of it makes it harder. For us adults, it's no big deal, right? We'll take the diamond tab, we'll pour it into a big cup of coffee, or scotch, whatever works for you, beer, whatever, you know, wine. Again, I've heard from medical professionals that does not dilute the potency of the medication because you mixed it with water. It's just as long as you finish it. Problem with kids, when they don't finish it, everyone gets all nervous because you don't know how much the kid really drank. Because half of it's water and half of it is this. So this is not a great etzer for children, but it's an etzer for adults, theoretically. Adult who has a bad cough and he can't find any kosher over the counter medication, he needs to take something. So he goes home and he mixes it with something. No big deal. Now there's another kasha over here about what happened to the rule of chaticha nasa nevela. Chaticha nasa nevela means now the whole, you don't look at just the percent of glycerin in the drink, you look at the entire drink. So you'd have to have shishim not just connected to the amount of glycerin, but you'd have to have shishim connected to the entire drink, the entire medication. So the numbers would have to be much higher. So he bavorns over here why you don't have to come up with the heter of chaticha nasa nevela. But whatever the case may be, this is Rabbi Heber's suggestion. His suggestion is if you come across cough medication or Tylenol that you don't know if it's hashkacha and you notice there's glycerin and you can't get a handle on where the glycerin comes from and you want to be machmir, so you could just dilute it with water and this way you'll be okay and you won't have to worry about ein mevatlan iser lechatchila. If we take a look over number 21, Rabbi Belsky writes, we mentioned this a little bit last week, he writes, vitamin nimkarim li'itim krovos bekapsulos gelatin mimkar lo kosher. What about vitamins? Again, we're going back to pills over here for a second. Kapsulos asuyim mi gel rach kula mi gelatin shemikara bechazir hasuyim mechalokim meruim lemachos shabalechaim v'afilu makapsul atzma nechsheves nifsal meachila. Even if you tell me that the capsule is already nifsal meachila, the Rosh says it's still us, like we saw already. And he writes, v'das moranon hagoyin Reb Henkin v'agoyin v'baran kodlo hoyso shematziv kazen negei gam l'trufas. Again, Reb Aaron and Reb Henkin held not like Reb Moshe and Reb Aaron. Reb Moshe and Reb Yaakov held pills are not achshavei, there's no problem. Reb Henkin and Reb Aaron held not like that. They held even pills, capsules, are still a problem if they come from gelatin. Therefore, says Rabbi Belsky, Beram kuli al miyodi ki l'gabi vitamin al kochem l'teisevis t'zoyno v'loy l'refuah. And this is where Rabbi Belsky draw this distinction, that vitamins that are not used for medicinal purposes, they're used as a substitute for food, that is not going to be a problem, that's not going to be mutter, it's going to be a problem of achshavei. So Rabbi Belsky is pointing out that although Rav Moshe and Rabbi Yaakov both paskin, there's no achshavei medication, which means you could take a gel cap without any problem, Rav Henkin and Rav Aaron Kotler were machmir. So, you know, changes your thinking process a little bit. They held that even though it's just medication, it's still achshavei.
What about
Moshe held that
vitamins,
though. So Moshe, right, so vitamins, he's saying that even though vitamins that are not used as a medical purpose, they're using as a dietary supplement, that is not included, and that's usur. Okay? That is usur, meaning vitamins have to be kosher. Vitamins, you have to be checked for kosher purposes. Now, again, I mentioned last week, this is a much bigger shir. I'm just saying what he says over here. Then he writes, "V'afsha vitamin milkachai de believe lo li'isa, even though I swallow it, b'liyosa nechshav ka'achila." He says, what do you mean? Swallowing it is considered eating. How do I know swallowing is considered eating? Because the Gemara says, "Bala matzah yotza." If you swallow your matzah, you yotza. L'chein netilas vitamin kapsula shel gel shemekar bechazir nechshavas la'achila chiluk cholok arui lo mechazir shari achshvei l'machos. Says Rabbi Belsky, you got to be really, really careful taking your gelatin, if there's capsules of vitamins that have gelatin, you should be much more careful. Again, I got vitamin D from the doctor, and that's, I don't know if that's really the refuah. I got to really discuss it better with my doctor. So you got to figure out what to do. So we mentioned last week, if you want to be extra careful, you wrap it in a tissue and take it that way, and this way you're to all shitas, and you don't have to worry.
Even vitamins?
I would think even for vitamins, if or maybe not. I don't know, I'm not sure. I have to think about whether or not, what would Achorin would say for vitamins you wrap it in a tissue? Maybe it's definitely better. I mean, if you take the vitamins either way, and now the question just is how guilty you want to feel, so I would suggest probably if you wrap it in a tissue, you would feel a little less guilty. I'll say it that way.
Make a distinction between something like, say, to relieve a headache or a cough,
a mechus,
and
yeah,
vitamins. We make
this right, so I think vitamin, no. We're saying now that anything that's used for medication, a mechus medication, is also considered not eating. Vitamins that are used as a supplement, that's already a different category. That's the chiluk we're making. And we're more machmen. They will need a hashkacha, and those are bigger problems. Okay, so let's just quickly. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know.
I've used one of the, unfortunately, it was Nifter.
Yeah, sure.
It was mamish the doctor, so to speak, on every, you know, kosher, Pesach, not witness that. And I really was so much on what he said, and he was terrific. I didn't need to say anything. I was just now wondering how many things people buy, you know?
Yeah, again, I don't know how much the, you know.
Maybe there's some kind of emotion on the medicine.
Yeah, again, so a lot of the medications, I know, I'm saying, I know someone who's a pharmacist. He told me he spends a lot of time with this because people ask him, he's from, so they want to, and he's all day emailing these companies and asking him. And you only, and they only give you so much information. The pharmaceutical companies are not easy to deal with. They are very, very protected by the government for a lot of reasons. That's right. Rabbi Besser writes the famous list before Pesach. So usually every year, that's where we get. That's where everyone gets their ideas from the Pesach list. That is true. Okay, but let's go a little weiter over here. So he writes over here again. I'm skipping because I really just want to get moving over here. But there's number. Let's go to number 23 for a second. There's a very important Ramon we have to see. The Ramon Yehuda writes the following: Yeishayim, the Isser Hanom Drabonon Mutal Lisrapois Mehen Afilu Cholu Shem Besakana. Let's say you have Isuri Hanomid Rabbanon. Let's say you have something which you're not allowed to get Hanof from on a rabbinic level, right? But it's not Osir Hanomid Deraisa. Then you can give it to a Cholish Eim Baisakana. Vafilu Yain Nesech Chosanazem, Mutal Esrapois. You can use Yain Nesech, because Yain Nesech today is only Rabbanon, no Gaim appointing for Vedizara. Ulas is Mimenu Mertuch. You can make some form of a potion. Right, let's say the guy in your house picked up your wine. So now we don't drink that wine, that's today Yain Nesech. But you don't want to drink the wine, you want to use it for an ointment on a rash. Okay? So the Ramah says, that's mutter, as long as it's a chayla, even a chayla shein by sakana. Why? Because it's only awesome and drabana, and therefore we waive it. Right. So over here, if I wanted to use that oil, that wine, which is awesome and drabana, for a chayla shein by sakana, the Ramah says you can do it. As long as you're not drinking it. Drinking is much more chamer.
Now, is that
everyone
more severe than mechush biyama?
A little bit more. For this purpose, it's not going to make too much of a difference. Now, what's interesting over here is the shach. The shach says, "V'hainu dafka k'derech achilasan, avasholoi k'derech achilasan." But if let's say I'm going to take this medication not the normal way, kasvu hamordechai v'aguda reish per kosho b'shoy b'shem raviyah demutter. Again, if I'm going to eat this in an abnormal way. He's talking about, let's say I have a bottle of wine that the guy picked up. So now the wine is awesome and drabbanon. I can't drink it to make me feel better, but I can rub it on my skin. Let's say I would drink this in an abnormal way. Shaloi kedach achilasa. I don't know, I'd wrap it in something. I would do something weird to it. Zok tishach, that would be mutter. So let's work this out a little bit. If you're going to take medication, right? Let's say you're going to take medication that at best is an issa drabbanon. That's a suffix, the glycerin. And your chayla shem sakana, if you could take it in a shaloi kederach achilasan way, according to the shach, it would be mutter. Now, on top of that, there's a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, in number 25, v'gam b'tshuva mater ramah afilu chayla shem sakana lishtoi stam yeinam. The ramah that we have by Asin Yaradeya says, you can't drink stam yeinam, which is Asin Rabbanan, you can shmir it on your body. But the Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva's ramah, the ramah says you can drink it. Whoa, one second. That means, according to the Ramah, I'm allowed to drink something which is asur midrabanan for a chayla shein b'sakana. So if you add up that equation, where does that leave us today? A guy that has got a hacking cough can drink glycerin medication that's only asur midrabanan. Now, do we pass like this Magen Avraham or not? The answer is most likely don't, but it is something to keep in the back of our minds. Now,
but the solution for the gel caps, it's always you can open up the capsule and take out the medicine.
Unless the doctor tells you you need to have the capsule there. You have to check. Some of them, they say that the capsule is part of the digesting it and things like that. So check with your doctor or pharmacist before doing so.
I think it's a certain release.
It depends, right? You have to know on the medication. Now, I just want to point out over here, Rabbi Heber makes a very interesting shtickle tear over here. Rabbi Heber says, "What about? Let's go back to kids for a second. We're not supposed to give kids things that are not kosher. But what do you do for that kid that needs medication and you can't dilute it? What can you do now for the kid? So for us, we can dilute it and we'll survive. What about that kid that's 3 o'clock in the morning screaming that the ear hurts, or the throat hurts, and all you have is Tylenol and Motrin, and that Tylenol and Motrin happens not to be. Again, most Tylenol and Motrins are fine. But if this one is not, what are you going to do now? Your kid is not a baby. You're not supposed to give your kid not kosher food. What can you do? So Rabbi Heber came up with a chap over here, where he thinks that you are allowed to give your child medication that you don't know if it has glycerin or not, you could give to him. Why? So he makes a stickle. I'm a real stickle tell you. Right, say this. Number 26. Why? He says like this. Dehine, afim yesh dover ha'asa b'secham. He goes back to all the site. Even if, naniach, this goes back to Ronnie's question again. Even if you were told that in this medication is using glycerin from animals, it's still only going to be in Nisad Rabbanon. Why? So we said, afilu achavi chatzi shir b'taruvas. De'in loyma shekol ha'trufas havi midvar ma'asurim. Because the entire medication is not full of glycerin. It's only a little bit. So worst case scenario, the glycerin that you consume is only going to be chatzi shir. So we're starting off with the Nisad Rabbanon. Now remember I told you before, according to the Magen Avraham, you can drink Isurei Derabbanan for Chayel Shem Beisakana. Following that logic, you should be able to drink the Diamond Tab straight up for an adult, because the whole drink is only Derabbanan, and the Ramah and the Tshuva wrote that you're allowed to eat Isurei Derabbanan for Chayel Shem Beisakana. But he's talking about to give it to a kid. He says like this, he says, you should know there are poiskim, i.e. the Magen Avraham, I just told you before, that hold that a chayla shei b'sakana may drink something which is asa midrabban, which would be glycerin in the diamond tap. Now he says like this. The Beis Yosef has a rule. He says, whenever you have a food, that there is a possibility that someone choshev holds you can do, give this to an adult, then you can for sure give it to a kid. And we're building a little tower over here. We're building the tower, and the tower starts like this. There are shitas that hold that even an adult can drink Diamond Tap straight up. Again, I'm picking Diamond Tap. I have no idea if it has glycerin or not. You checked it out. Okay, thank you. Again, I'm just using Diamond Tap as a guzma ba'alma, right? According to the Ramon and Tshuva and the Pshlomo Kluger and others, I can take Diamond Tap straight up without bittel. Why? Because it's only going to be Nisad Rabbanan because it's chatzi shir. I'm no way consuming enough to be a whole shir. And a chayla shem b'sakana. So even an adult can do that. Although we don't paskin like that, the rule is that I can give that to a kid. Now, where do you find such a halacha that something which you yourself are not supposed to drink, you're allowed to give it to your kid? Right? The rule of thumb with kids are anything you can't do, you shouldn't give them to do. Right? If you're makbid on Chov Yisrael, don't give your kids unless you make it tonight before, whatever. Right? If you're makbid on X, don't give it to your kids. So if I'm makbid not to drink Diamond Tap, why on earth would I give to my kid Diamond Tap? So Rabbi Heber says it's based on a Beis Yosef. Number 27. The Beis Yosef says over there, he's talking about Friday night Kiddush. Right? It's now there's less and less shuls that do it, but the old shuls used to have Friday night Kiddush. Now, who drinks the Kiddush Friday night? Big Tomo. They give it to the kid. So the kash, what do you mean give it to the kid? If the adult can't drink it, why is the kid allowed to drink it? Right? Why is an adult not allowed to drink it? Because it's not Kiddush Malkum Suda. Right? You have to have Kiddush Malkum Suda. I think Gemara Pesach, is talking about Aniyim, the whole beginning of Avi Pesach. But, so how do we give it to a kid? Kids, especially the kids that get lechinuch. So he writes like this. The Kosev HaGoyis Maimonides, number 27. The HaGoyis Maimonides writes, Shechoyim HaShkoyis L'Ktanim. Tohod, Aminim B'Perek Cheresh, Dibi Adayim Lois Afinu L'Vesura. It says in the Gemara, we don't give treif to our children. Hainon avails to treifus. That's we don't give our kids treif. We don't give our kid pig. Okay, Agav, the Nafkolam L'Esochu. Avo Kiddush HaYoyim, Mitzvah Saseihu V'Le Nafkolam L'Hosom. Okay. We don't even give a suud rabbanon to our children. So having your kid eat before kiddush would be some form of nisad rabbanon. This is the Beis Yosef talking. Since there are some poskim that hold even an adult can drink from the kiddush cup, even though we're not noig like that, says the Beis Yosef, but that for kids you can do. So the side of the Beis Yosef is if I have something that there are people that hold I myself can do, although I don't, that I can give to a kid. Therefore, says the Beis Yosef, therefore, since there are poiskim that hold you yourself could drink from the Kaishal Kiddush, although we don't, the kid you can give it. That's the premise. Exactly. But that's basically what it means. It means when I have someone to be Yosef on, I'm allowed to give it to the child. Shaila is why? Well, what's that svara? The monosha. If at the end of the day I won't drink the cup of wine, why am I allowed to give it to my son? So the Rabbi Heber explains like this, number 28. He says, what's Takim Shan in Beis Yosef? The Beis Yosef says that if I have something that I myself, I know there are poiskim that permit it, even though I myself don't do it, I can give it to a child. Therefore, let's put it back to our sugya. I know there are poiskim that hold that I can drink Diamond Tap without a problem. So therefore, I can give Diamond Tap to my child without a problem. What's the svar?
Are you being machmir? In other words,
we're not really being machmir. We're saying that
I don't have to impose my chumers on my kids.
No, it's not a question of chumers. It's a question. This is where we pass. It happens to be there's another shita. But that's so. How does this make any sense? So he says very beautifully, number 28, right? Rabbi Heber. He says the kachia has Rabbi says this is svar. She adu machloikis rishonim shuvah beisayis of arachem. There's a famous machloikis rishonim. Imutal hachal esurei derabbanon lektanim. This is tamzei machloikis. Am I allowed to give esurei derabbanon to a child? Great example. Bishul akum. Right? The kid's home with the cleaning lady. The cleaning lady's cooking up a storm. Fantastic. It's all Bishul Akum. Right? Am I allowed to give it to my son for supper? I can't eat it because it's bishul akum. Can I give him bishul akum? So there's machlokes rishayim. The Rambam says the also lachini biyadayim lekut that I feel dvarim shesumit devesef. The Rambam says you cannot. Something which is also midrabanan, you can't give to your kid either. So if you're makbun a cholov stam, you can't give your kid cholov stam because you're makbun a cholov stam. Because in your book, cholov stam is also midrabanan. I mean, people that really take it seriously, right? Someone who takes cholov stam very seriously, they're not going to give their kids cholov stam. I know some people, they take it on as a chumrah, so they let their kids have it. That's a different story. I mean, chassidish people, labavitch people who take cholov stam to the umth degree, they're not giving their kids cholov stam even if the kid's 5 years old. Because to them, it's like giving the kid bishul akum. Right, they
wouldn't. They
would never do it. Right. They're never going to eat the stuff. But the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba in Yevamos disagrees. He says no. Kol shuhu letzorchei shel tinnik. Anything which the kid needs. Anything the kid needs. Right? Anything the kid needs, we give it to him, even if it's an issed rabban. So it says Rabbi Heber like this. Vehinei ma'ir yafil b'kodesh shegi lechinuch. Vein lahakshes lafir Rashba ich mutal hach isur rabbanu l'kodesh shegi lechinuch. In fact, what's behind this Rashba? The Rashba says you're allowed to give the kid macholos isur rabbanu. Why? So he says ayin b'shal shuvas Rashba. The davka b'mitzvah say chayav lechinuch. V'loy b'mitzvah lois asay. The father has a mitzvah in mitzvahs essay. The lois asay in hefesh ben tumel l'shar asurim. U'bekul mein bezim zol hajur. Vein hefesh ben good. Chayin kosev Rashba. V'kivin the kaim of the af b'shal toyer in bezim mitzvah lafrishoy. Good, fine. So the Rashba says you could give it to him. How do we paskin la halacha? Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam, you're not allowed to give a suri drabbanan to a child. But we have in the back of our mind the story of Rashba. The Rashba's makel. So says Rabbi Heber like this. Now we understand the Beis Yosef. Number 29. Ooh, wow. A real stickle tear. Says Rabbi Heber, if I want to know, I want to give to a cotton something which is awesome in the Rabbanan. So I have two sfeikas rolling in the back of my head. What's suffix? Suffix number one is what? Is that awesome in the Rabbanan? I don't know. Is there glycerin in it? Is there no glycerin in it? That's sad number one. The imtim salam shazasa, and even if there is glycerin in here, and so what? Even if there's glycerin in the diamond tap, the best would be an Issur Rabbanan. And according to the Rashba, I'm allowed to give Issur Rabbanan to my child. Therefore, says Rebbe Heber, based on this, he thinks there's absolutely no problem whatsoever to give to your children medication, even if you know it has animal gelatin in it, glycerin in it. Why? Because maybe we pass it like the Rashba, and the Rashba holds you're allowed to give. So therefore, he comes out lahakel that you can give it to the children.
That's only because it's sex sacred. So, like the bishul akum, that won't work.
Right. That's correct. So you don't have two sveikas.
So the CRC website says diamond tap for children is not recommended.
Right. That's because it has glycerin in it, and they say for children is not recommended.
It says children's cough.
Right. That means it has glycerin in it. Now the question is, if you want to start playing games with it, but you want to start diluting and playing all these sticks, but strictly speaking, that means it has glycerin in it.
So what's the Rashba's? Why can't we? Rashba says adults can also have it?
The Rashba, no, this is all talking about giving to kids. The Rashba says you're allowed to give a suri d'rabbanan to a child. As long as the kid needs it.
But he didn't explain why.
Okay. He holds again, it has to be for the tzarech of the kid. So obviously, diamond tap at 3 o'clock in the morning with the kid screaming is in the chatzarech gedoy lemezu. So therefore, based on this shtickle Torah, Rabbi Heber came out that he thinks that you could give children medication like diamond tap, and others that have vaday non-yidia of the glycerin, based on this svek sveka.
What's the story like on Shavuot Shachalav Tishavav when you make the Havdalah, and some people say make it on wine, but give it to
a kid,
yeah.
Right.
That, in a case like that, is that only a minhag, or is that...
So that's a machloek, is mechab and ramah over there, right? I'd rather don't do that. A lot of acharedim say not to follow that minhag. They say because... They say drink yourself.
Oh.
They say drinking yourself because like we've seen in lumdises and things.
Even though that's
Shavuot Shachal B'Tishva, because since it's mitzvah, the wine is mitzvah, it's not pleasure, so that's why it's mutter. Yeah, many achranim hold that way, even though many people think. The problem is you have to get it's even more complicated, because you have to get a kid who's in between your day, not your day l'sabal and a gil. It gets a little tricky what the age is. But so halacha l'maisa, let's just read this, finish up number 30. He says, "Le'inyan dina im arafua noisin tam lefkam." Again, if the medication is bad tasting, this is a recap of all our medication sugyas. Says Rabbi Heber, if the medication does not have a good taste, mutter af l'gedoylim, then everyone holds you could take it. That was, again, everyone besides Reb Aaron Cutler and Reb Hankin. Everyone, meaning Reb Moshe and Reb Yaakov, that hold medication without a good taste is not achshavei. If it's not achshavei, you can take it without a problem. Now, if you get a cough syrup that has no good taste, that's not a problem either.
Can you put lemon juice or something? No, no.
What do you mean,
something to make it worse? To make it not taste good and then drink it?
It's like the tissue.
Maybe. I know, people do that on Tisha B'Av. People have to take medication on Yom Kippur. They make a very salty, yucky concoction with that logic. Maybe that would work also, I guess. So he writes, they're not in time to shvach, but if it tastes good, yesh lo hakalit in the cotton, you can give it to a kid, misvek svek, api hez bebe seyesev, efshir. Kiven de na yisoy muskom lakol kumosh kaz vashach, efshir, im yodua shiyesh tam nevei lamamish b'teich hafuah, ain lismech al beseyesev leilit in tinek. Now he kind of like backtracks a little bit, Rabbi Heber. He says, if you know, like Dimetap, which we just learned has glycerin in it, maybe you shouldn't. He says, well, if you know already that there's animal glycerin in it, maybe don't give it to the kid. But if you don't know what's in it, then he says, then you could definitely be Mako. Then you could definitely be Mako and give it to him. Then he ends off number 31. Says Rabbi Heber, this is all if you can't get medications that are kosher. But if you can get medications that are kosher, try your utmost best to get medications that are kosher. So again, b'sikum, when it comes to liquid medications that have a good taste or just definitely not a bad taste or a positive taste, it's much more questionable that we don't say, we do say achshavei. It's preferable that it should have some form of hashkacha. If you can't get a hashkacha or you can't find one or get down to the source of its glycerin, you could do bittul on it, add liquid. With children, there's much more room to be makel, but with children, you can also do that same process as well. Okay, adkan the sugya fun medication. Now, I guess we'll start this sugya. It moves quickly. I just want to start the next page.
Yeah.
What, over the counter? Yeah, tons of it. Again, some of this stuff you can be mavar better if you want on your own. Send that email to pharmaceutical companies and see if they give you a more of a.
You assume that they did that.
You would assume that if they say not recommended, that probably means that there's either they don't know for sure that it's not animal, or they were told it is animal. You could call this, I don't know which, CRC or Starkey, what do you want?
This is the CRC.
So you can ask them what it means. Either it means we know for sure it has animal, or it means we don't know for sure it doesn't have animal, and it blinds us off. I believe the bulk of that list is chametz, but could be they give you more also. I know, for example, some of the stuff they're mavar now, they tell you both. Very bekitzer, because I really want to get into our next major sugya. Very quickly, the next sugya I want to touch upon is one of my pet peeves in Klal Yisrael. You go to any Jewish home on a Shabbos meal, everyone washes, and everyone's very careful not to talk. But they have a whole conversation without talking, right? Right? That's every from home, I'm pretty sure. But it's more than that. What a lot happens in a lot of homes, maybe not just my home, I think, a lot of people don't wash. This is my daughter. She's a big help in the kitchen. She's great, so she'll wash. And then she'll cut vegetables. She'll make a salad. She didn't say a word. Not a word. She's mom, she's a steakist. But she's preparing a whole side dish over here, and then she brings it to the table. Is that also a shayla from Hefsek? Very nice. She didn't say a word. I know people, they come to the table, they sit there with a book, waiting till the last person to wash. They didn't say a word. They're quiet as could be. But I think that might... Huh? I think that might be a terrible Hefsek. I really believe. And the other pet peeve I have is how many times you go to a meal and one of the kids talk, and it was like, let's go wash again. Let's go wash again. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. And I'll prove it to you. I'm not making this stuff up.
And it's fine. They talk.
What, after they wash?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let's see. Nothing. They say it's your hands are dirty. If you get dirty.
Ah, so that's what I want to see. The one thing people are not zori on, what bothers me, is that people will wash, then they'll schmooze, then they'll make the bracha. That's the worst thing you can do.
You mean on the TLC
dining? Yeah. That's the worst thing you can do.
Once you start doing the Lord.
Once you start, right. So let's just start a little bit this week, and hopefully we'll finish it in 1 week. They should be over here, yeah. They're one-sided cheats. That's like a school for us finishing it. So let's just very quickly, we know that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, Simi Kuf Nun Ches, that we're supposed to wash our hands before we eat bread. The reason why we're supposed to wash our hands before we eat bread, the Mishnah Berurah explains two reasons. One reason has to do with the Kehanim. The reason why we wash our hands before we eat bread is because when the Kehanim are going to eat truma, they have to wash their hands before they eat truma. And since most truma comes from most of the breads. That's where truma predominantly comes from. Therefore, the kohanim have to get used to it. So why do we have to do it? To help them get used to it. That's the whole idea over here. The reason why we wash our hands for netilas yadayim is to help the kohanim get used to washing their hands before they eat truma. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a second reason. The reason why we do it is because of cleanliness. Cleanliness is definitely close to godliness, and one of the reasons why we wash our hands before bread is based on the pasuk v'yisem kedoshim. It's a show of holiness. Okay, cleanliness is holiness. Beautiful. Now, be'etzem, the mitzvah ends the moment you wash and dry your hands. The mitzvah's over. Then there's a new thing called hamotzi. Right? I love, you know, I had this phenomenon with kids. I'm not benching because I didn't wash. What does one have to do with the other? Benching and washing. Benching is a mitzvah deraisa. Washing is a mitzvah derabanan. One has absolutely nothing to do with the other. So you don't ask anymore how many people wash. You ask how many people are benching because I didn't wash, so I'm not benching. One has absolutely nothing to do with
it.
100%. They're two separate mitzvahs. One's a mitzvah deraisa and one's merely a mitzvah derabanan. Now the question is, what's the time frame between washing and eating? What's that all about? So if you take a look quickly, source number 3. We skip the first two sources that you can do on your own. The Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara writes like this. Amar Vashi, Amar Rav. Sholosh Tkifasein. There are 3 things that have to be back to back. Have to be immediately. Take of the Smicha Shechita. Right after you do Smicha on the animal, you have to Shech the animal. If everyone remembers on Sunday morning, we talked a little bit about this once, whether or not that makes now Mitzvah Seish Hazman Groma. Because you can only do... You have to do takev l'smicha shchita, and you can't do smicha balayla. Okay, we talked about it. Takev l'geula tefila, right after Gai saw Stashman Esrei. And what's the last one? Takev l'netila sedayim bracha. Right after the netila sedayim is bracha. What's bracha? What does bracha mean? Oh, what's it referring to? So if you look in Rashi, number 4, Rashi says, it's referring to mayim achroinim. It says, Rashi, takev l'netila sedayim d'mayim achroinim b'chas hamazon. The way this Gemara reads is that right after you wash your hands with the Tehillah Sedayim, it doesn't mean washing before bread, it means after bread. Right after you wash for bread, i.e. after you do Mayim Achroinim, bracha bench right away. That's what it means. V'lo yoicha klum ad shivarach al mezayne. Don't eat anything until you make Berachas HaMazon, meaning right after you do Mayim Achroinim, go straight to benching. Which means there's absolutely no ramification for our sugya.
How?
Right. It's called the Tehillah Sedayim. So if you take a look over here in number 5 is not Rashi, but number 5 is Reb Kiva Eger. He says, Rashi devar maskal netilas yadayim d'mayim achroinim. Kach mevor besugin. Avo b'medrish rabba ub'yushalmi mevor dekoy al netilas rishayna. But the Medrish and Yushalmi learn that this Gemara is referring to mayim rishayim. So what does that mean? Takef netilas yadayim means right after you wash your hands. Bracha means make hamotzi. Which means don't dilly-dally, don't wait, don't have a break between netilas yadayim and making the bracha on the bread.
Just a clarification. When are you supposed to make the bracha for
Netilas Yadayim? So the Netilas Yadayim with the bracha is tricky because normally we have a rule you make the bracha over Las Yosem before you do the mitzvah. Hey, you don't do it before. So the Ramah writes, as long as you haven't yet dried your hands, you're still considered good. So you're supposed to, after you wash your hands, you're supposed to make the bracha right before you dry them. Once you dry them, there's a Chiddush Mitamag and Avram over there, but after you dry them, many hold, that's already too late. The mitzvah's over. As long as they're wet, you can still dry them. So when the Gemara says, take it from the Netilas, take the Netilas Yadayim bracha, means right after you wash your hands, go straight to Hamotzi. No break in between.
What about the bracha on Tehillah Sedayim?
Means right after, mean right after you finish Tehillah Sedayim, go straight to the bracha. Means
yeah, that bracha.
Correct.
Bracha.
Yeah. Bracha means hamotzi. Yeah.
Right.
Now,
if you have a family or
that's always the problem. So we're going to see Blineda next week.
Right.
We're going to see how to get around that. So Blineda next week, I'm going to try to finish up this sheet, and then we'll start the sugya of the gas.
And it's not a half from the bracha of Tehillah Sedayim.
No, the bracha of Tehillah Sedayim is a chedek of the mitzvah. So I finished the mitzvah. Now I'm done. And now I'm waiting to make. So the Gemara says, no, right away, take off. Right after that, until the time, you go straight to Hamotzi. Now, what can't I do in between? Talk, wait, space out, check emails, if it's not Shabbos, right? Read a book. That's what we're going to have to see. Blineda, the next week, we will tackle this sugya, and we will try.
You not even be able to learn. 100%.
You might not be able to do anything.
No,
we'll see. Right, we'll see. There's a sheet of halacha that you can't even wait time. We'll see how long, how much time you have. Seconds. This becomes a real problem at wedding halls. We have a wedding hall, so they wash for bread over there, and you walk through the hall to get to your seat. And on the way, you meet people. You know, gotta play that whole game. So, Blineda, the next week, we'll tackle that a little bit more.